Well, this is not the first time this has happened to me. And I don't know if I'm out of the spirit or I'm here to correct things. I don't know. One or the other. I'd like all the grade schoolers, the kids that are in grade school, if they'd come up here and sit.
That's elementary school.
That's elementary. Yeah. You know, the guys that are little. Yeah, come on. Right up here. Come on, you guys. Yeah, you. Right there. Sit down. Hey, you come up here. Yeah, I want you. Yeah. Yeah, could you fit or we need another chair? Let's get another chair here, too. Put another chair up there, will you? There you go. I know you got your ears pulled this morning, but this meeting. All right. Like I said, this isn't the first time I've thought about this now for a couple years of this message. I call it Mike's Epiphany. I came to a realization a couple years ago that my focus wasn't the focus that I should have. And I'm going to be contradictory to some messages that you've heard, some songs you've sung. I don't want you to misunderstand. I agree with all that has been said. But my focus has changed. Or is trying to change, I should say. Look, if you would, in Mark 10. Mark 10, 13 and 16. This is for you kids, okay? And they brought young children to him, that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked him that brought them. You understand what's going on? Some people wanted to bring their children in, their grandchildren, and have Jesus touch them, bless them. And it bothered the disciples because, who are you guys? You know, you're just little children. Just go play and don't run through the church. All right? But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased. Jesus didn't like that the disciples were trying to shoo the little children away. And he said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not. For such is the kingdom of God. Do you realize that you are what Jesus said were of the children of the kingdom of God? It's a marvelous thing. Amen. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. Mm-hmm. And he took them up in his arms and put his hands upon them and blessed them. You're very important to the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes. Your attitude, your zeal, your complete trust in your parents is an example that we Christians to our Heavenly Father should be. And in my growing up, I was in every church meeting. Morning, Sunday night. I was Wednesday night, and any work day, my parents had me there, all right? So I'm in the middle of this. And Wednesday night was my favorite meeting. You know why? Because us kids got to choose what songs we sang. And the songs that we sang were a lot of fun. And so I want you to help me sing one of those songs, all right? You know I've got the joy, joy, joy down in my heart.
Amen.
Where? You say that, huh? Sing it with me. I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart.
Where?
Oh, is that the best you can do? Come on. I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart to stay. Okay, we have another verse. It's all right. You want to know? I know the devil doesn't like it, but it's down in my heart.
Where?
Come on, you guys are pitiful. Down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart. I know the devil doesn't like it, but it's down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart to stay.
Amen.
Then we had one that was really difficult. I stuttered uncontrollably till I met Susan. My wife straightened me out. I don't talk as much, because she does the talking, and I don't stutter as much. She's a West, what can I say? Okay, you ready? I got the peace that passeth understanding down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart. I got the peace that passeth understanding down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart to stay. It was so much fun. We just loved it. We had a whole bunch of them. And Wednesday night was my favorite meeting till I grew up. Lord blessed us greatly in our little church. We're a little country church in the middle of nowhere, but our pianist player was like this young man. The notes were just a starting point, and he could play that thing like you wouldn't believe. And the song leader sang with the Statesman Quartet for 4 years. You've heard of the Statesman Quartet? Any of you? The Blackwood Brothers? The Happy Goodman family? Here's one you probably don't know is Ray Overholt. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free, but he died alone for you and me. Well, his son married George Spees's little sister. And so that put us in connection with all these groups. We had Ray Overall come 2 different years, and he would preach 2 weeks, 3 Sundays, 2 weeks revival meeting in our little church. If we had 60 people on a Sunday morning, it was a big day. And we had Nicky Cruz. Joe showed a picture of him. Nicky Cruz came in 1964 with Wilkerson. Wilkerson got me in a corner and asked me if I'd been called yet. I'm 11 years old. Yeah, my dad calls me every morning at 5 o'clock. Mike, get out of bed, you know. No, we had... And then at that time, there was that... All those groups would get together and come to Grand Rapids, Michigan once a year and have a... they would have an all-night sing. We'd start at 8 o'clock, and they'd sing till 2:30 in the morning. Each group would do several songs. We'd have an intermission, and then they'd come back, and every group would do a couple songs, and then the whole bunch would go up on top. And I was into it. I loved it. I wanted to sing so bad. And so I'd go up in the balcony. They didn't even turn the lights on, and I'm up there all by myself, and I'm singing with them, and Jimmy Blackwood was my hero. I mean, he was a little guy that could really sing, and he's up there with all the motions, and I'm practicing. So I got in high school, and I says, I'm going to start a quartet. Now, what I know about a quartet is that it's not a quarter. It's about as far as it goes. But anyway, I got my good friend, Ron Shelders, who's now my brother-in-law, and Joe, he's still my good friend. It can happen, okay? And then another guy was a year older than I was, Chuck Schofield, nephew of Ruth Schofield, the piano player. He could sing, and he married my aunt. My aunt was a year younger than I am, and so it's not as weird as it may sound. And then another guy, a couple years younger yet, and he could actually sing, and his family was related to us Jacksons, and since we were very obedient to fill the earth, everybody was related to the Jacksons. So we put in a quartet, and we got invited to several churches. Only once to any one church. We never got called back. But they... like three or four little country churches decided to get together, and they're going to have a sing night. So we get there, and people take turns getting up and singing. We sing a congregational song or something. Then it's our turn. And my three quartet, they're bashful, they're shy, they're in the back corner, kind of whispering, but not me, man. I'm right out front. I've got a mansion just over the hilltops in that bright land there. We'll never grow old.
Amen.
And I get to looking around, and people are looking at each other, and they're smiling, smirking. My dad's sitting back there about the third row back, and he yells out, "Sing it out, Mike, sing it out." And the whole place breaks into laughter. It's just rolling in the aisles, laughter. People have got tears running down their eyes. I know some of you can sing pretty good, but I'll bet you've never brought tears to everybody's eyes. And I did. I tell you the story of being a child, and this for a reason. What happened between this age, when I am so enjoying the moment, no worries. Dad goes to work, he brings home the money. Ma's always got something on the table. It's just a wonderful, I'm just having fun. Just enjoying life.
Amen.
By the time I'm a sophomore in high school, my song is, I want to be out of here and someplace else. What's happened?
Yeah.
Junior high? Yeah, they started expecting me to learn something. That wasn't good. And then the bullies come in, and everybody wants to take a chance to beat up some little farm boy. And high school doesn't change, only now you're being pressured. You're going to get some pressure as you grow up to make decisions. Don't get scared. It happens to all of us. But you know, when every pastor and preacher that comes through our little church corners you and wants to know if you're going to go to Bible school, if you're going to, I had enough of it the time I was a sophomore. We've sung this song tonight. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus, and it will be. Don't misunderstand me. There are days, weeks, months, I've had some years when getting through the Christian life is possible because of what I call as payday. And that's what much of Christian life is. It really is. We suffer, we sacrifice, we put out the unreasonable to the unsaved. Two people are giving up your money to support missionaries that you don't even know what they're doing, really. You know, we hired those guys to get in the table to take their picture for. You know, you don't know that. You don't know who we're dealing with. And yet you give up and sacrifice for that. Why? About 2 years ago, I ran across a truth in the Bible that I had missed because of using the verses for another way. Look, if you will, in Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, I believe, was where we start. It says, "And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness." Now, I use this verse for years when I'm talking to somebody who denies the deity of Christ. This talks of the plural God, right? And it's a good application, and I used it with other verses to try to convince people that Jesus Christ is God the Father manifested in the flesh. And here he is talking to the triune God. But that's not the point. Let us make God in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish in the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female, created he them. I chose. I remember the day I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I wasn't any bigger than it. I was not any bigger than these littlest ones. I remember that day distinctly. George Spees, the one who sang with the Statesman Quartet, come up and dealt with me, prayed with me. Remember that distinctly. I remember running up and down the sidewalk afterwards. I'm saved, glory, I'm saved. I remember that as I got a little older, I realized I didn't just accept Jesus as a Savior. I took Him as my Lord.
Amen.
And even though I made some mistakes growing up and I got some things that I'm ashamed of, I knew that God was watching over me and looking at me.
Amen.
And I was rejected by many of the people in my school because I wouldn't do what they would do. I was protected. I had a glorious salvation. I have a testimony that I hope all of you can have. It's a terrible thing when your testimony starts out, I was the worst guy on the planet, in the deepest sins. That's a tremendous salvation, but it's sure so much better not to have that baggage.
Amen.
All that covering you up.
That's right.
And I remember distinctly when I decided to go to the mission field. It was my decision. Some of you haven't heard that story. I'll pause here just to tell you. I had a desire to be the biggest farmer in Michigan. But, you know, some people want to be on the cover of Time magazine. Some of you ladies, maybe Vogue, I don't know. I wanted to be on the Michigan Farmer. And I was driven for it. Would be a stepping stone to be on the American Farmer. And all this ambition. And I'm in my best harvest. I'm talking more corn coming in than you can imagine. I can't make a round and dump my combine. I got to do it on both ends. And I'm marking off on the back of the combine the trailers that are pulling out. And I can buy the next farm. I can upgrade my tractor. I'm all excited. And God said, so what?
Yep.
So what? What have you done? You're a selfish, arrogant, nobody. Do something for somebody else. Be careful when you take a mission trip to visit the missionaries. I had done that 2 years in a row. Come down for a couple weeks and then went back to Framing in Texas so I could have money to do the farming. And God said, you can go down there and help them. I finished that field. I'm heading toward the next field down the road, little dirt road. Here comes Susan bringing my lunch, which she did every day. She coming with not just my dad. The first time she came with paper plates, my dad took the paper plate and winged it. I want real plates. We had roast and potatoes and gravy right out of the back of the station wagon. She came up to meet me and give me my lunch. And I got out of the combine. I said, honey, we're going to go to Mexico. She says, yeah, I know. We get finished picking the corn. We're going to go to Mexico. No, you don't understand. We're going to sell everything and move to Mexico. I had just built her a new house. We were picking out the colors of the paint and the kitchen. It was finished outside. It was almost done inside. And she never got to live in it. She cried. It's next to the school where our little kitties are going to go. People thought that I was dragging me to Mexico to be with her parents, and it was just the other way around. She fit in and has been a wonderful helpmate all these years. Thank you, honey. I decided to do that, but I didn't decide to be the image of God. God created me for that. He says, you're to be put on this earth and be my image.
Amen.
Amen.
And about 2 years ago, it dawned on me, I'm spending my time, and I had some rough years, cancer, knees, my back, I had back surgery, knee surgery, you name it. My business was going to pieces because I turned it over to a friend who did well for himself. And I've sang, it will be worth it all, a lot of times. And I thought, someday I'm going to get paid. You know this payday Christianity is from the beginning? God talked to Abram and says, pack everything up and move out of your comfort zone, and I'm going to give you a great nation. That was, well, you do what I tell you, do all this, and someday it'll be worth it all.
Yeah.
And it dawned on me, I'm spending too much of my time waiting for payday. I just out of high school, I'm working at a framing company. Great company. They taught me a lot. It was wonderful. And we didn't have nail guns. It was all drive nails. And boy, I loved it. You didn't have to pay me. The guys I worked with had two conversations. The last of the week, it was, I'm going to get my paycheck and I'm going to do this with my paycheck. And then in the Monday morning, they're trying to remember what they did and talking about that. They were a bunch of drunks. They're not me, man. I hated Friday. They're waiting for the check to come in on the black, with a little black truck brought them in. And I'm not wanting, because that means Saturday I don't get to come down here and drive nails. My boss came up to me after several weeks and said, Mike, you got to cash your check. What motivates us? What motivated me?
Right.
Why can't I have the same motivation for what God sent me on earth to do, to be His image, to portray Him in every situation?
Amen.
Not just the hospital. How about in the home? What about with my family? What about... And the Lord's been dealing with me for 2 years, and it's a hard thing to change. I'm the image of God in this earth, and I should find such joy and fulfillment.
Amen.
The poster boy for the unfulfilled John Doe is a 30-year-old spoiled little brat living in his mom and dad's basement, slouched on the couch, eating Cheetos, you know. No purpose.
Yeah.
No reason to get up and do anything. I feel sorry for people that have a job that they really don't like, and they hang in there. And they hang in there for payday. I've been blessed. I've had so many things that just motivated me. It wasn't for payday. I'll pay you to let me drive nails for you. Why can't I do that with the Lord's work?
Amen.
Yeah, amen.
I've had those moments when I just, this hospital thing has really, really helped me to know that I have showed a little bit of God's love, but it's not enough. It needs to be every moment of our lives. I was created to be the image of God, and I don't think it's that pleasing when our only motivation is, at least I'm going to get a reward out of this.
Right.
You look back at the great movements that have been through, they weren't looking for payday. They weren't looking for an easy road. I think of the work that took place, started really in Lyme. It was so exciting to be a part of what God was doing. We preached twice a day. We preached until we were coughing up blood. Literally. Took a week off of preaching and just went and talked to people on benches and to try to heal up our throats one time. And we did it because it was a fulfillment.
Yeah.
Have you ever had that fulfillment? The world is looking to be fulfilled in something, and they try all kinds of things, from the good things to the bad things. The only real fulfillment is doing what God has created us for.
Amen.
And that's to be the image of God. I hope you young folks, you grow up desiring, God, what do you want me to portray of you?
Amen.
That's my message tonight. I just pray that I can continue to work, look for that fulfillment in just doing the Lord's work.
Okay?
Don't run off. I got something for you guys.